Well, good afternoon and welcome. Good to see everybody. As is usual, I would appreciate it if you took out a Bible and followed along. Make certain that all that is said and done is in accordance to God's Word. So, as was mentioned this morning, we are going to this afternoon continue the theme for the year as we do a series of lessons on the subject of hope. And that is a beautiful theme. It's an encouraging theme, and it should really help us to do the things that God would have us to do and to have strength in challenging times. So last month, when we began the theme, all we did was just look over lots of scriptures. We just looked at the very relevant scriptures on the subject of hope. And then, as is kind of becoming tradition for me, as I go back and look at my pattern as to how I do these themes, and the second month we get to definitions. Like, what is it we're talking about? And that's where we're at this afternoon. What is hope? And I hope that I'll get to that. I hope that you've noticed the billboard when you come inside as it talks about the theme. It uses acronyms, and Bonnie has gone through and found all these various acronyms for the word hope, and that's going to change. Every 2 months, that's going to change, and she had to get rid of some of them. I personally liked helicopters over purple elephants, but she didn't think that was relevant. So that one's not going to be up there, but the ones that are up there all embody the concept of hope. He's our promised expectation. That's what we have right now, and I hope that you will consider those. So, what is hope? First and foremost, hope is important. Let's just start right there. Hope is really important. Now, I know because I've already given you the context of this particular lesson that you're going to be able to answer this with great ease. But what if you didn't know what the subject was and I asked you, what are the three most important things for us to do and to have? Okay, we could get the first two easy. Faith. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Absolutely, you have to have faith. No question about it. Got to have faith. Love. No, that's not. That one's pretty easy too, right? 1 John 4 and verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You've got to have faith. You've got to have love. All right, now if we're going to add a third one, I know what almost everyone in here would do if they weren't thinking of these two passages. We would say obedience, wouldn't we? Paul didn't. Now, before you go off and saying Jared doesn't think obedience is important, I submit to you that we've already covered obedience. Faith and obedience are inseparable. When God wants to test the faith of Abraham, He commands him, says, offer up your son Isaac. The test of faith is, will you obey? Will you obey is the test of faith. Love and obedience are inseparable. Jesus said in John chapter 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, again, it is love is revealed by keeping God's commandments. So we've already got obedience in there. But that's what we are going to focus on, isn't it? Faith, love, and obedience. Here's Paul's list. Faith, love, and hope. And when you have hope put in the same list as faith without which you cannot please God, love without which you cannot know God, and then hope, does that not reveal the significance of hope? In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, it says that faith and hope abide these three. Faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, when Paul speaks to these new Christians, and he talks about what is so great about them. He puts, again, these three together. He says, starting verse 2, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. There we have twice this list of three brought together and included in it is hope. But how often do we focus on hope? How often do we spend time in our day saying, I really need to improve my hope? So the first thing I just want you to grasp before we get into the meat of this subject throughout the year is this: hope matters. Hope is important to us pleasing God and being the type of Christians we ought to be. Hope, when present, is one of those things that when Paul would look at, would thank God for in us. He thanks God if he sees faith in us, if he sees love in us, if he sees hope. So hope is important. Let's start there. Now, I want to share with you the biggest surprise that I had in preparing this series for the year. And that is, hope isn't what I thought it was. I had been brought up, I had been told multiple times by preachers, I have shared it myself, that there is English hope and there is biblical hope. English hope is when we say, I hope you saw the sign downstairs, right? I just would like it. It would be nice. I call it the wishy-washy hope, or it would just be really nice. And then the biblical hope is that desire plus expectation. I have repeated that multiple times, heard it repeated multiple times. Here's what I found out. It won't hold scriptural water. Hope is want. And it isn't always expectation. Because the Bible uses hope the way we do. Not always, but it does sometimes. So I want you to consider 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 7. This was not what I was expecting. I am guilty. I started looking for the subject of hope, and I was looking for the passages to prove what I already knew was true, only to find out, wait, some of these didn't work. Some of these didn't fit in. And I want you to know that all the passages that are listed on the board right now, all of them are using the same Greek words that we're using for hope in general sense. We're not talking about some, oh, well, they just mistranslated something or some special word. No, this is just the normal word they used. So 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 7, Paul says, "For I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits." Now we talk about hope being desire and expectation. Here he may have desired this, but he did not expect it because he included a clause that says, "But it may not happen." I hope to do this if the Lord permits. That's not confidence. That's not expectation, saying this is how it's going to be. Instead, it's saying, I really would like it to be this way, but we'll see. Nonetheless, still use the word hope. Now, all those other passages, Romans 15, 24, Philippians 2, 19, 1 Timothy 3, 14, they all have something in common, and that is they are all used almost exactly the same way in almost exactly the same context, and that is, I hope to see you soon. Or I hope to send Timothy to you soon is one of them. But in that context, they would use hope to just say, I really would like to do this. Okay. Two things I want to point out about that, just starting off at that point. One is, you're not wrong. So when you say, I hope that you do this, or I hope to do this, you're not misusing a biblical word. That is the way they used it. So you're not wrong. But other point is, that at the very most basic part of hope is a desire for something to happen. That's where we start off with hope. It's a desire for something to happen. Something that we eagerly want to have happen. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see. Ignore my mumbling up here for a second. Let's try again. Romans 8, verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. And so here is this hope mixed with this eager desire for something to happen. So here's our theme for the year. Our theme for the year is to hope. Our theme is to want something. To want something badly. To look forward to something. Okay. Now, when all those times when I said, okay, so the biblical hope is desire plus expectation, and it's not the English hope. The part of that was wrong was the not the English hope. The English hope and the biblical hope can be the same at times. But overall, there's still a truth to the basic concept that was being said. And that is, when we're studying hope in the Bible, we are studying something more than just, I desire something to have happen. We're studying something more than just, I hope that you will notice something. We're studying something that means a desire plus an expectation joined together. Now you may wonder, how can we know that, Jared? If hope can mean just I desire something, how can we know that it also means an expectation or an anticipation? Well, there's a few reasons. One is, if you get to the root word of the Greek for hope, and I'm not going to expect you to know the Greek words, I'm not going to even give them to you. I've debated, I've decided now, you're not getting them. If you want them, you're going to have to figure it out yourself. But there are Greek words, and if you get to the root word, guess what the root word means? It means to anticipate or to expect. So when we look at the word hope, we're expecting expectation, because that's what the word means. All right, it may not always be used that way, but that's what it means at its root. And then if we take another one of the root words, we look at how it's translated. There are two basic Greek words that are translated hope in our scriptures, one of which is translated that way 53 out of 53 times. Every single time the translator saw that word, they said hope. They threw it in there. One of them, pretty much the same word, just a small little variance. One of them was used 31 times, and 23 times they translated as hope, but that gave us 8 times to see how else they might use it. Consider these. They translate it as expect. And in these passages, want won't make much sense. It has to include the idea of an expectation. So consider Luke chapter 16 and Luke chapter 6 and verse 34. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. If you just put in there lending to those whom you want to receive from, well, that changes everything. It has to be the word expect. It's saying if you lend with an expectation of getting something back, there's nothing great in that. Want just doesn't quite do it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5, Paul talks about the Macedonians. And so if we pick up in verse 13, but we're going to be looking at verse 5. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Now, change that to want, and just want. And what did that just say? If all it is want. They really wanted to give and we didn't want them to do that? They gave first themselves to the Lord and we didn't want them to do that? No, there's something more here. He's saying, I didn't expect them to do as much as they did. Not I didn't want them to do as much as they did. I just didn't expect it. So when we say that biblical hope is desire and expectation, we're not just making that up. It really is seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 6. Paul talks about them. Pick up in verse 5. He says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. Now, I suppose he could just be saying, I hope, I would like it if you found that we are Christians. But I think that there's something more to that in Paul. He has just made this solid argument saying we are apostles, we are in Christ, and I expect you guys to figure that out if you examine us. There is an expectation that comes with it. In addition, we look at how the word is used itself. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Let's consider, is our hope just I want something. It would be really nice if this happened. How did I get those verses up there? Let's try verses 17 through 20. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The hope that we're supposed to have, the hope that we're going to focus on, is one that is sure and steadfast. It is one we can be confident in and have expectation of. Now let's skip to Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And again, just think of this as, what if it was just desire? Not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. If hope was only just, oh, I want something, consider that passage again. We rejoice when we go through bad times, because when we go through bad times, we're able to go through more bad times, which proves who we are, and that makes us want something. That wouldn't work. Instead, he's saying, once we've proven who we are and the strength that we have, now we have confidence. We have expectation of great things in the future because we've proven who we are. So hope means expectation. We would also consider, if you go back to Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, that hope is involving things that we do not see. So it is a desired expectation, anticipation, but it's of something you don't have yet. It is of the unseen. And so Romans 8 verse 24 says, "For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we eagerly wait for it." So, the main idea. This is the exciting point for the whole lesson. Hope is truly an anticipation, an excitement for something that you really expect to have happen. Take one of those parts out and it doesn't work anymore. It's not really what we're talking about. What if we're talking about something that's an expectation that you're not hoping for? Well, more likely you're talking about something you're afraid of. That's not hope. But we talked about Hebrews 10 and verse 26 this morning. That if we go on sinning willfully after having come to the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the consuming fire. That's not hope. That's fear. So expectation and anticipation, excitement. That's what we're talking about for this year. We're talking about really wanting something. And I'll give you hints. Heaven. Being with God. Resurrection. These are our hopes. And we should be looking for that with anticipation, excitement. Really excited about that and really expecting it to happen. So what is hope? We'll put it in a different way. Hope is our confidence in God's promises as they apply to us. That's what we're talking about this year. We're talking about having confidence that all those things you read within scriptures that God is offering us, all those things that God is telling us to look forward to, we have a confidence that says we're going to get that. There's going to be a day. I don't know when. I don't know if it's soon. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but there's going to be a day in which Jesus will return and we will all be welcomed to Him in the sky. What is hope? Hope is our strength and our endurance in adversity. I cannot tell you what your year is going to bring, but I have a feeling that if God permits you to live this entire year, it is going to include some adversity. I just have this hunch that says there's going to be some challenges you're going to face. Hope is what gives us the strength, the motivation to keep going through. Hope is what says, even though things are dark right now, I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I see that there's a brighter future. Hope is our strength. It is our endurance. Hope is our optimism. It's our excitement. It's our anticipation. Hope is our joy and our exultation. Back in Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, we picked up in verse 3, but in verse 2 it says, "Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God." And so it is our hope that causes us to exult or to have this great joy in God. And finally, what is hope? It is our comfort. In challenging times, when we feel the loss of loved ones, hope is what comforts us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a passage written to Christians about Christians who fall away, not fall away, who die, fall asleep. He says, verse 13, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." And he finishes that series in verse 18, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." The world doesn't have hope, and so it lacks the comfort. We have hope. So what is hope? It's comfort. It is comfort during the difficult times. It is comfort when we feel the sting of loss of loved ones. What is hope? Simply put, it is a strong expectation of something we really want. And we have a reason to want, and we have a reason to expect. And that's going to be the meat of the year. And we'll get into that to come. So I know that definitions aren't always the most fun. In fact, they're not. When I was growing up, I never sat down and said, "You know what I really feel like reading today? The dictionary." That wasn't me. Some people are that way, but that was not me. So I understand that this isn't necessarily the most exciting thing, but it is the most foundational one. It gets us to this point. It says, all right, what are we talking about for the year? We're talking about living our year thinking about heaven with the realization that it's for me. Heaven is ours. Eternity, eternal life is ours. And that is a great thing to look forward to. If there are any here who are not Christians, we give you an opportunity to become one every time we come together, because it really does matter. It really is important. And if you've come to this realization that God is true and that His Son is Jesus and He died on the cross and was resurrected, you're ready. You have this knowledge you need to have in order to be saved. Will you repent of your sins? Will you confess your faith in Him? Will you be baptized into Him this afternoon? And if you're a Christian and you have fallen away, we invite you back to a God who will once again restore your hope and expectation for something good instead of for eternal fire. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?